Now, breathe deeply and empty your mind of all the chaos brought on by too much multitasking. Turn off that cell phone, leave your BlackBerry behind, just relax and listen. This is Jai Utal, famous as a leader of kirtan, an ancient form of meditative chanting. He is also a Grammy-nominated artist and leading musician in the world music genre. Jai performs at yoga studios, spiritual retreats, and workshops. He also performs at concerts around the world. Jai Utal joins us now from the studios of KQED in San Francisco. Welcome, Jai.
Thank you, Lynn.
Now, you are a native New Yorker. You grew up in New York City. How did you discover Indian music?
As a young teenager, just from going through the record bins and Folkways Records down in the West Village and searching through all the world music albums I could find and coming across these amazing records by Ali Akbar Khan, Ravi Shankar, and the Bowels of Bengal, street musicians of India.
What made you eventually, though, decide to focus on spiritual music? Did you have a spiritual awakening that grew out of the music or vice versa?
You know, John Coltrane is spiritual music. Roscoe Holcomb from Kentucky is spiritual music. Indian devotional music is spiritual music as well. But any music that's really coming from the soul and from the heart connects us with the spirit.
I wanted to ask you specifically about kirtan. That's something that a lot of people may not be really familiar with. Can you, first of all, tell us something about the origins of kirtan?
Well, it comes from the very, 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 very old systems of yoga in India. And, you know, we in the West very often misunderstand yoga to be just a set of physical exercises. But yoga is a way to attune the entire system, body, mind, spirit, emotions, to the divine. And kirtan is a way of channeling the feelings in the heart, that which are usually very unchannelable, and using them as really as fuel to become close to God, to come close to the spirit. Nataraj, Nataraja, Jai Shiva Shankara Nataraja.
Maybe you can explain what goes on in this chanting.
Kirtan, it's a musical form, but it's also a meditative practice. At the most basic level, what we do is we sit and sing mantras, ancient Sanskrit prayers, and sing them over and over and over again to a variety of different melodies. Now, it can be very tranquil, it can be very sedate, but it can also be super rocking and passionate and wild. But the mantras are repeated over and over and over and over again, and something about that repetition just quiets the mind. Kirtan is cool because you can sing love, you can sing anger, you can sing yearning, you can sing frustration, you can sing sensuality, you can sing everything and put it all into the same song.
When you lead a group of people in kirtan, is there a change in the room afterwards?
It seems very different. It seems transformed. People walk into that room, and when I say people, I mean myself also, filled with all the thoughts and all the anxieties of the day, of their life, of our life. And after a couple hours of singing, it makes everyone very open, very grounded, and at the same time, kind of, you know, euphoric.
How hard is it to learn how to do kirtan? I mean,
you know, it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be super musical. It just has to be truthful.
Do you want to try and lead me in a kirtan chant?
Okay, let's do it. The word will be Ram, R-A-M, which means God, basically, spirit. So I'll sing a line and you sing it back. Ready?
Okay.
Ram, Ram, Ram.
Ram, Ram, Ram.
Ram, Ram, Ram.
Ram, Ram, Ram.
There you go. And say we did that for an hour, you know, and we had drums and we had, you know, more instruments and more support. The giggling, the self-consciousness would pass probably in about 5 minutes. And then, you know, you would start going deeper and deeper into what's inside of you. It's an exploration.
I know that you also have made some CDs that are intended to accompany people as they practice yoga. What's the difference in the music?
I won't say that I designed them for yoga practice. I designed them for a type of listening that allows you to do other things while you're listening. versus something that demands you just to pay attention to the music. So when I made those two records, one of the aesthetic differences was that things became a lot more stretched out. It was something that would be a, kind of like a womb for people's inner explorations through the yoga practice.
Does music help you practice yoga, do you think? I mean, have you actually tried practicing yoga to the music that you've composed, and does it help?
It helps me. You know, some people like to do yoga in silence so they can really focus on their body while and what's going on. Myself, I can't stand focusing on my body when I do yoga because I started when I was 49 years old, and it's too painful. So so listening to nice music while I'm practicing yoga really helps me get into it.
Now, apart from your music, which we'll call your spiritual music, although you've already said all music is spiritual, you've got a whole other side to you musically, where you really like to play with music. You like to mix Eastern and Western traditions. Why is that so important to you?
It's just an expression of who I am. I grew up in a very, very musical scene. My dad was in the music business throughout the 60s and the 70s. And I grew up with Western music. I grew up with pop music. I grew up with R&B, you know, especially R&B. This is what my father was into. You know, these are loves and passions that never went away from me. But then when I was around 19, I got first exposed to Indian music, which grabbed me and turned me inside out.
What other instruments do you play? I know you play an incredibly wide range of instruments.
I'm mediocre on all of them. So that being said, I play a whole bunch of Indian instruments, sarod, dotar, harmonium, and I play guitar, I play banjo, I play really bad mandolin, and I sing.
But you're a good singer.
Thank you.
You're and a modest man.
Well, you know, I have a teacher named Ali Akbar Khan, who is 85 years old and is considered perhaps the greatest living musician of India. And many people consider him one of the greatest living musicians in the world. One day I was talking to him and I said, how does it feel to be a master? You know, just tell me, what does it feel like to play a concert? And you are the master. He looked at me like I was crazy. He took a deep drag from his cigarette and took a sip of his scotch. And he said, music is like an ocean. The deeper I swim into it, the further away the other shore gets. And there was so much humility, you know. And he said it's very, very rare for him at a concert to have all the systems aligned. You know, his body, his heart, his soul, the sound system, the audience. And he said, when that comes together, I'm not there anymore. It's pure ecstasy.
Is that what you're going for?
The
pure ecstasy you're going to find on that other shore. Well, it was great talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Lynn.
Jai Utal is a sacred music composer and has been leading kirtans and workshops around the world for more than 30 years.
Shiva.